Coming up on TMS, do not drink the juice.
Uber guy is bad at Uber.
White House gets all Disney and stuff.
I never order anything.
That's not true at all.
No, it's absolutely not true.
Your echo is really confused.
Tom's tech time.
Your recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
When you work in an office, meeting the public, whether it's in person or by telephone, is an important part of your job. It can be pleasant like this.
Just remember, stick to your piano playing.
The Morning Stream. It's high noon.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's high noon in Eastern time zone.
It's high noon. That's right. Yes. It's, 12:04. It's four after high noon. It's less high noon.
Genie new high noon is what it is.
That's right. It's high noon for Genie.
hey, speaking of which, it reminded me of Blizzard because I was doing a McCree voice thing there. That's what this is all based on, is McCree. And then it made me think, hey, isn't this the week where if you do all your daily quests in Hearthstone, you get a free pack every day?
Probably. Yeah, I think that's been going on for a few days now.
This whole week, I think. I'm behind. I need to get... look, I like free packs. Free packs are good.
I'm so behind.
I don't have time.
I know. The game that I've been talking about, that Marvel Strike Force, is actually launching today. I sent you the video this morning of that.
Oh my gosh, dude. That video is amazing.
Isn't that hilarious?
It's amazing. I didn't know what it was for at first because I didn't read the article. I just clicked the video. So I thought, are they making a CGI TV show or some movie or something?
Right.
I couldn't figure it out. And it's like the best Jax moment. Jax. Jax is the guy from Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat with the metal arms. Yeah.
That guy. I love him. He's great.
He's funny too.
Yeah. It was really good. So thanks for passing that on. Brian's always quick with the cool viral thing. And I tweeted it after that. And hopefully people enjoyed it. Hey, it's TMS, everybody. Scott and Brian here. And it's Wednesday, March 28th. And we're doing it in the year 2018 is when we're doing it. And it's a Wednesday. That means Tom will be here. We'll have Nicole. Speaking of whom, you're not to skip ahead here, but you're going to see Ready Player One tonight with them.
Right. Yeah. They were able to snag a babysitter. It's going to make me, miss a little bit of Raid. I might jump in late if they're still going. But, hey, you know, Raid, Ready Player One, it's a fun night no matter how you slice it.
Either way, right? You're readying up. Get it?
That's right. Yes. That's why I'm wearing my...
I'm glad. Look at that.
Spaceship t-shirt.
Yeah, look at that. You're wearing half of the references from the film. It's great.
Right, exactly.
When you go, you're going to have to... I don't care how late it is. Can you just text me and give me a thumb up or a thumb down?
Yeah, of course.
I trust your opinion on Ready Player One.
Yeah, both of us read the book. Both of us excited for this, but a little bit trepidatious.
A little bit, yeah. Like not that we don't trust Senior Spielbergo. He does a good job, right?
He's done all right. He's got an okay resume. Like he's, you know, we're seeing this after watching The Money Pit, which I thought was okay, but
sure,
man, doesn't feel like a Spielberg movie.
No, well, and it's just produced by him, so that. It doesn't count quite as much as a directorial thing. But then again, I've seen Crystal Skull, so I know how bad it can be.
Oh, geez. Yeah, exactly.
And I've also seen, Raiders of the Lost Ark, but then I know how good it can be. So bottom line is I have high expectations. I'm trying to temper them. But if Brian Ibbett, one of my most trusted companions, comes back from this thing and sends me a text that has a thumb up, I will be pleased. That will make me excited.
I will remember to do that after the credits. I'm sure there's going to be some... If they don't do a stinger at the end of this after the credits, it feels like a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, why wouldn't they? In the era of stingers, this movie needs a stinger.
This movie feels like it was just made so there could be a stinger.
Yeah, even if there's no sequel, you got to have some kind of something. Right. Like, what would your reference be? Like, if you haven't seen it yet, you have no idea, you know kind of what the book is, and you know from the trailers what stuff they're going to show, what would be the perfect stinger for a movie that is already chock full of 80s and 90s references?
It's going to be, you're going to see Freddy Krueger drumming his fingers on a bar top with the Iron Giant saying, "Hey, pour me another one."
That's pretty good.
Something like that. It'll just be some referential thing with a couple of characters from the that we've seen in the film.
All right, I'm in.
It could be like a little Easter egg icon kind of popping up somewhere else after the the film like, oh, there's another Easter egg somewhere.
Am I supposed to know who the guy that made the Oasis? Am I supposed to know that actor? I'm going to feel dumb when you tell me who it is. Who's that guy?
I don't know who it is. It's funny because there are times that I felt like he looked like Brent Spiner, but I think it's just like because he had that same weird prosthetic makeup thing.
Like the ID4 looking Brent Spiner with the
right. Let's see who it is. Because I'm curious. I've been seeing the same thing in the previews. And I'm like, oh, who's that guy? And then something else distracts me. I completely forget.
Sure.
What's I'm looking the name too. Of the guy? I can't see his it. Name is.
What was the guy's name in the book? I don't remember. Oh, here it is. His name was Ogdemaro's the other guy. That's played by Simon Pegg. Oh, Halliday. It's Mark Rylance. That's who it is. He's now in. Spielberg just says, hey, you want to be in all the movies I make since we did Bridge of Spies? Just do it from now on. And Mark Rylance said, sure, I'll do that. He was in the BFG. He's in your Dunkirk deal that you saw, which is not Spielberg.
Right. What? Yes, of course.
Yeah, that guy's cool. I like him.
You can see like that first photo of him kind of looks a little bit like old man Brent Spiner that, you know, when Data and Lore were meeting up in his hovel.
Yeah. Or in Independence Day when they pushed his face up against the window. Right. Like a puppet. Remember that? That was cool.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Somehow he's alive again in the sequel, but no one explained that to me. Still haven't seen it. Anyway, bottom line is Brian will go. He'll report tomorrow on the show, spoiler free, how things went. And I'm very excited about that. That'll be awesome.
All of those things are correct.
Yes. All of those things and more. All right, quick thanks to somebody who I'm not going to tell anyone why I'm thanking him. I just want Free Rangers, who might be in the chat today. I don't know. Is he?
Usually is. I don't see him in the current wall of text.
He contributes in many, many ways. He shows up in chat rooms and is part of the community in that regard. Oh, he is. There he is. Free Rangers. I am, he says. Just like Jesus did. Remember that? I'm the great I am.
I was thinking Spartacus. I'm Free Rangers. No, I am Free Rangers.
How do you feel about his chin, by the way? Kirk Douglas's chin.
Well, I wouldn't date Kirk Douglas anyway, but if I did, his chin would bother me.
For those who don't know what I'm talking about, Brian doesn't like a pointy chin. It's not into it.
It's not even pointy. Well, pointy bothers me, like Reese Witherspoon, but also bulbous with a big divot in the middle.
Yeah.
I feel like that belongs on your action stars, maybe not so much on your...
On your ladies?
But, I mean, I don't want to say that, because there are women listening to the show who may have that and we're perfectly attractive and
you don't discriminate. It's not that. No, it's just that you're...
It's my man hands. It's my close talker. It's my...
Sure.
It's my Seinfeldian thing. By the way, I think the best example of this is Katie Lotz from... Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, is she notable
she
for
has,
her?
I'm gonna find a. I'll post a link to you in the.
Is it Witherspoonish? Is that what we're talking about here, or is it more butt? It's more like a butt, like Travolta-ish.
It's more like a chin dimple thing.
Is it like you could keep a couple of Tic Tacs in there just for an emergency? Just like jam them in there.
Yeah, that's it, right? Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let me see
if I can find. Here we go. Putting a link in your in our Discord here.
All right. I'm looking, clicking.
Photo right there.
Here we go. Chat room. This is the one in question. Oh, yeah. She's totally got a little hole there, a little divot deal. Mm-hmm. A little BB.
You can put an M&M in there.
Yeah, a little M&M. It may not melt.
Or Skittle. If you don't like the chocolate, you could put a Skittle in there.
It's the old saying, M&Ms, they don't melt in your chin hole. That's what they'd say.
That's right.
Yes. Anyway, I don't see any of these shows, so I don't even know who that is, but I'm sure she's fine.
Right.
It.
She's great. She's a really good actress, and she's got a, you know, a cool smoky voice, and she can kick ass like nobody's business, even though, you know, it's fake, but she's obviously been trained to do the whole action fighting thing and kick much ass there. So
you think her parents are jerks and named her Caity? Like, that's a terrible way to spell that.
Because there's no one ever that you're going to be able to say, oh yeah, my name's Katie, and not have to spell it Caity.
Yeah. And Lotz should have an S, not a Z. Like, I got problems with her name. That's dumb.
Yeah, but you know, at least with that, it's the family name. They didn't really, well, potentially it's the family name. This could be a completely fabricated.
Late night in Hollywood. She's stoned. She doesn't have a job yet. Right. She's still working as a waitress.
Actually, I wonder what her if her real name is. Let's see. Katie Marie Lotz. No, that according to Wikipedia, that is the name she was born with.
Then Scott.
No, she was.
Then I'll tell you what. Then
she was in Mad Men. I didn't realize she was in Mad Men.
No, I didn't either. She was a chin in there. Anyway, there's that. So anyway, looking forward to that. Oh, Free Rangers. Whole point of bringing him up.
Oh yeah.
He just made a very nice gesture yesterday, and I just want to thank him publicly for it. I don't want to embarrass him, and I didn't ask if it was okay to do this, so I'm not going to say too much. But I just want him to know that was really, really nice and came at a perfect time for me, and was just a super nice gesture. So, on behalf of me, Free Rangers, you're the man. A stalwart member of the community and a continual generous dude, and that we could all be more like Free Rangers.
For sure.
Would be my dream. Okay, let's move on. Brian, of listener.
One more thing from Katie Lotz's Wikipedia.
Yeah.
In 2005, she was a member of a girl group, music group called Sox. How would you spell that?
I'm going to say P.S. Hold on. P-S-O-C-H-S.
You're not far off. It's S-O-C-C-X.
Okay, that makes me want to die. That's it, everybody. We've had a good run. We'll see you.
Yeah, done. Yeah,
yeah, we're done. TMS ends now. Should be S-U-C-K-S. Sucks. all right, Brian, I got a listener. Listener sent something in, and it was about this balut egg thing.
Sure.
I'm trying to get more emails onto the show. So here's one. It says, I had a close Filipino friend in high school. Filipino friend. FF. I like that. You're my FF. You're my BFFF.
Best Filipino friend.
Yeah. I like it.
Or Brian the Filipino friend.
No, it's BFF. You got to put an extra F. So you go BFFF. So you go best Filipino friend ever. No, wait.
Well, that'd be
forever. Either. Forever. Sorry.
Okay.
Best friends forever is usually what you do, but you go best Filipino friends forever.
Best Filipino friend forever.
Oh, sure. I love it. Anyway, wrote in, says, a friend in high school, this Filipino friend of theirs, and I had an opportunity to try balut, this duck, undeveloped duck egg thing. It was quite tasty, very similar to another egg, or any other egg, rather. I didn't have any trouble eating it until I was instructed, and here's the part Brian would like, I was instructed to drink the juice from the shell.
I will not be wheezing the juice. No, nope. Wheezing the juice.
Nope. He says, would not recommend it. Good luck. No, I'm done. I'm not doing it again. That's it.
And I don't care if it's thin, thick, whatever liquid that's in the bottom of that egg. Out of the bottom of the egg.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even do that with a chicken egg, man.
Well, you've had crawfish before, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do suck the heads.
You suck the heads, right. Except this feels like one of those deals, but there's no way I'm ever doing it. Ever.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. I get it. Maybe the locals are like, yeah, you must suck the head, suck the head. And I'm like, uh-uh. I'd rather shoot myself in the head.
No, thanks. No.
No, thank you. All right.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right? Hey, look at us. Look at us right on time to call Dunaway. This is amazing.
Wow.
We're supposed to do this right around now. We usually go long. I'm super impressed with ourselves. So we're going to call Brian Dunaway. We're going to play a game of Stump Dunaway. And you find people at home could be the winners of some rad prizes. So park your car, get off your deal, drop your linen. It's time for...
Pull over safely wherever you may be.
Wherever you may be.
Ask the bus to stop.
That's right. Hold your
little subway handle.
Yeah, make sure you're not driving right now because this begins now. Welcome to Stump Dunaway, starring Brian Dunaway, who is not here yet.
Oh,
I thought he'd be here.
What is the deal with that?
What's the deal with Brian Dunaway? Maybe he thinks we're early.
We are. We're right on time, but every type Pokemon or defeat one level of a gym or something like that.
What is a fairy type Pokemon?
Yeah.
Like your Jigglypuff, your Wigglytuff, your Igglybuff. I'm not making those up.
Those are all real. Everything you just said is real.
They're all real. Real fairy type Pokemon.
Hold on a second, though.
Your cheesy puff. You see him.
What's the benefit? Yeah. What's the benefit for completing the stuff? Do you get balls and treats and all that, or what?
You get treats and you eventually, or with a random quest, you'll get the opportunity to have a legendary battle with Mew. Not Mewtwo, but Mew, which has not been released yet in the game.
Who's Mew?
Not legendary, mythic. Mew is the looks like a little cat with a long tail, or like a little rat mouse thing with a long tail.
And he's considered very rare, or is he just hasn't been
very rare? Yes, he's not even been released in the game until now.
Wow, quests.
I feel like that's just walked into the nerdiest conversation ever.
You kind of did. Please.
Like any conversation you walk into doesn't become the nerdiest conversation ever.
Yeah, you're one of the biggest. You're one of the biggest nerds we know.
I do bring the nerdy conversation.
You do. You do. You bring it. You have it. You're the guy.
Listen, you go to Dragon Con and you could say that every 30 seconds. I feel like I just walked into the nerdiest conversation ever. Who's a better captain, Picard or Malcolm?
Right, so you're saying it's not you, it's me.
Yeah, it's you.
I got you.
Yeah. No, this is how it works. When you buy a van and then you notice everyone has your van on the highway. It's got nothing to do with anyone else. It has to do with you. You're the guy.
No.
If you run into one, you run into one a-hole during the day, he's an a-hole. You run into all a-holes all day, you're the a-hole.
Exactly.
Thank you, Raylan Givens. All right, let's take a call. We got one right here. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, guys. This is Nick from Massachusetts.
Oh, well, hello, Nick from Massachusetts. It's nice to have you here. What part of Massachusetts?
I like how you phrased it like a question.
Yeah, I think I'm from here. Hey, what town? Where are you at in Massachusetts?
Outside of the Springfield, Massachusetts area. So, Smith and Wesson and the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and they were sure they were the Simpsons town, but then they ended up going to Oregon or something. Or where was it? Crap. Iowa?
Yeah.
Some other Springfield?
Illinois, something like that. But yeah, a bunch of my parents' friends lied to me as a kid about that, so.
Well, they did. What an odd thing to lie about, but all right.
Doesn't all of Massachusetts look the same right now? Isn't it all just one big white, covered in 14 feet of snow right now?
It's a little weird. In the river valley that I'm in, we don't get as much snow, but everywhere around us and out east towards Boston, they've gotten slammed lately.
Yeah. So. Four nor'easters in a row, man. It's rough.
Yeah.
Rough business.
We only really got two of them where I live. The other two were a couple inches, which is nothing. So.
Well, that's not too bad. Well, unless you live in South Carolina, where Brian Dunaway is, and then they stop the world for 4 weeks because nobody can function.
Although, if you're in the river valley, do you have to worry about floods, like from all that runoff? All that melt?
A little. It's more like yard flooding than really any damaging flooding. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Brian and I, Ibbot and I have this problem because we live at the base of the Rocky Mountains on both sides. If there is considerable spring runoff, we're both kind of screwed. Or our areas tend to go into kind of full alert and sandbag the hell out of everything because it could mean, like in 83, I think it was, when we had our really bad one, we literally had a sandbag river running down Main Street in downtown Salt Lake City. It was so bad.
That's when you watched them pull a dead guy out of the water.
Yes, it was. They pulled a 30-year-old naked man out of the water.
I take notes. I pay attention. I'm here.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, just that. It's a horrible, horrible memory. But anyway, it's good to have you here. On that note,
yeah.
let's play a game. It's Stump Dunaway, and we're not doing like last time. We just have a regular question today.
I'm keeping it moving around. You don't know what you're gonna get ever.
Yeah, so. Which I'm totally fine
with.
Thanks.
I need more uncertainty in these certain times.
Yes, certain times that we live in now.
These certain times.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever said? In the certain times that we live in.
No. There's probably a lesson in that. There's no such thing as certain times. So I actually appreciate it. All right, let's get to it. Here's your deal. Ibbot will explain. He'll tell you what you could win, and we'll go from there. Oh, by the way, we got a code yesterday. I think we want to add to this winnings that we will. And now we'll pull up. Andrew Smith sent in a code for Dark Souls 3. So I'll put that in the list. Brian, explain the rest, and off we go.
Will do. So we're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment. The answer to that trivia question is a number. Brian Dunaway is going to give his guess the best that he can do. It's his best that he can do. Give him a break. But then he's going to get it wrong. We're going to turn to you and we're going to ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you win that aforementioned copy of Dark Souls 3, courtesy of Andrew Smith, as well as Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King Special Extended DVD Edition, which I am holding in my hands. Look at that.
That is the best.
Are we still giving that away?
That's the best of the... last time it was Two Towers, wasn't it? Last time?
Monday, it was our visually challenged contestant, so I gave him the Cheers gift card.
Oh, he carried it forward, right?
decide to carry this one forward. There's like 47 DVDs in here. So I think you get like detailed schematics of a Hobbit's
anus.
Rectum or something.
I'm glad that I said anus and you said rectum at the exact same time.
So if
one of us has been doing the show, like which one of us is getting corrupted by the other?
Yeah, let's see. Know. Let's think about it.
If Hobbit's feet are there.
This sounded like it was gonna be good.
Yeah. Say it again, Dunaway.
Oh, I said if Hobbit's feet are so hairy, how is there a hairy Hobbit hole?
Oh,
they're undercarriage.
Yeah,
it's like it looks like a Baldwin brother down there. It looks like Gene Shalit is giving him a piggyback ride.
Yeah, Gene Shalit right down in the hole there. Yuck. All right. Well, there you go. What's our topic today?
Our topic today is memory.
Ooh. Memory. Oh, memory like the kind we all have in our heads usually. We're supposed
like
to have.
The kind that we all have. The Pumbaa memory.
Oh,
yes.
Pumbaa memory. Great. Well, here's your question. It goes like this, Brian Dunaway. I don't care how much ginkgo biloba you ingest. Bilboa.
That's another Hobbit.
I don't know. It's Ginkgo Bilboa. But yeah, Ginkgo Balboa is a great Hobbit boxer of his time.
He is, yes.
Anyway, no matter how much of that you take, memory sucks. And I'm not talking about the hosts of this show. See the Pumbaa reference earlier. I'm thinking of all of us. On average, how much of what we learn on a given day do we forget? By the way, this is a natural thing in human biology. Mm-hmm. How much do we learn on an average day that we forget?
So we're looking for a percentage.
Percentage. Sorry. I shouldn't say. It's not like how many total memories. It's what percentage of our daily intake do we forget about in our brain.
Right.
And how much we retain.
Sure. You could look at that and then subtract that from 100.
Yeah. Right. Look at Mr. Glass Half Full over here. I like it. Yeah.
The odd thing is, I think I read about this statistic last year, but it must have been part of the part that I forget. So, irony on me.
Right, yes.
I'm going to go. Right. So, all right. So, we obtain a lot of information in a day. Most of it is junk, useless. Mm-hmm. I would say that it's going to be very low, the actual percentage of stuff that we keep. Because, let's face it, there's some stuff that we put back for... for just, you know, for learning. And then we have some stuff that we remember because, you know, it's into us. I'm going to say we retain 9.2% of the things. Now,
which means we'd lose
90.8 is what he's saying.
Right, 90.8. So I guess really the question, did you guys say over how long a period? Because I mean, as that gets further along, I'm sure this greater.
Within 24 hours, the statistic.
Oh, okay. So that was a statistic.
Yeah.
Oh, within 24 hours. I'm sorry, I missed that part.
Yeah.
I forgot already.
Well, I mean, basically, you learn something at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Today, you'll forget it by 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say 86% in that case.
86%. Yeah. When we say day, we mean a 24-hour normal.
Right.
Post-Mayan day. Okay, great. Now, one quick thing I want to say before I find out if you're right or wrong or we confirm with Brian. I just want to say this about memory. I wonder how this works because I think that what we're about to find out is true and that we lose a chunk of our memory. Mm-hmm. However, it does seem like if tomorrow Brian says to me, hey, remember that thing I said about something? I would go, oh yeah, I remember. Like, I can recall things.
Sure.
But does that just mean it's a different kind of memory or something or what?
Well, I'd have to say something that would trigger it. So I'm remembering part of it for you. So if I were to say, "Hey, what's the name of the main guy in Ready Player One?" and you'd be like, "Oh, it's Andrew Holfield or whatever."
Whatever his name is, Pumbaa.
There we go. Hey, here we go. That's part of what's lost. I know it's Mark Rylance. How's that?
Oh, Mark Rylance. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
tomorrow, if I were to ask, you know, you might remember Mark Rylance, but you may not remember the character's name.
And the fact that we just had this conversation now probably increases our chance of recalling tomorrow, right?
Right.
I find this kind of stuff super fascinating. So that's what I
do too. Because it also translates to dreams. Like what you dream is usually stuff that you've thought about or done during the day.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of maybe it's your body's way of cementing that stuff in memory or it's.
Well, I ran a big corn farm in my dream last night. was really weird.
I heard that.
I forgot I mentioned that on the. See, I already forgot I mentioned it on the stream this morning. So there's where your memory is. All right. Brian, is 86% the correct number we're looking for?
86% is incorrect. Nick from Massachusetts, is the correct answer higher or lower than 86%?
I'm going to say, I want to say higher, but I think I'm going to go lower.
Lower than 86%. Man.
A lot more stuff lower than there is higher. So
yeah,
it
that's
feels
true.
Like a safer bet.
Feels like it, but we don't know until we ask these judges. Judges, is that correct?
Congratulations.
It's lower.
You're a winner.
But not by much. Only 6%. 80% of what we learn every day is...
Unless you're Pepperidge Farm.
Yeah, then they always remember at Pepperidge Farm. Wait, how's that go? I can't remember
Pepperidge
how it goes.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Oh, yeah, Pepperidge Farm remembers. There it is.
Pepperidge Farm remembers what you did last summer.
Well done. Return of the King, a special edition, the best of the three movies, in my opinion. And Dark Souls 3, a code from Andrew Smith, will be yours. All you have to do is send Brian an email, coverville@gmail.com. He'll get your shipping address and send you that code in the email and your stuff via U.S. postage to where you live in your river town, which is also very hobbity. Hobbits live in river towns, I think. Or is that where Gollum lived? Gollum was one of the...
He lived in, he was river folk.
He was river folk.
He had to bash a fish against a rock before he eat it.
Right. But he was hobbitish.
Yeah.
They don't have taters down near the river. What are taters?
What are taters, precious?
That's right. But before, when he was just a man down in the river there chucking his friend in, mm-hmm. remember that? Did they also bang the fish against a rock to eat it, or is that come more later when he was a gross, disgusting creature?
I think they had tools that Gollum just forgot how to use.
Oh, all right. Well, that makes sense.
Like, they caught the fish. I mean, they weren't terribly bright, is what they were trying to insinuate by the beginning of that film, but... Let's all watch it. Here, I've got the disc.
Yeah, there's the disc right there. Pull out disc number 19, and let's take a look. Thanks, and well done. You did it. Brian Dunaway, you've also done it. You've given somebody their hope and dreams. You've given them something special today. Well done. How do you feel?
I feel fantastic. I won't remember it tomorrow, but I feel great.
Oh, that's great.
We'll remind you of how good you feel.
The Brian Dunaway on Twitter, everybody. Follow him there and have some fun with Brian. All right. Have some fun with Brian.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
Check it out. It's the morning news brought to you by
Nikki Moore in her latest novel, Marked Chronicles of Kalan, book 3, scheduled for release on Friday, March 30th. That's this coming Friday, people, with the ebook available for pre-order on Amazon to celebrate this release. And since the series is not meant to be standalone, the first ebook in the series, Kyrene, is available for free. Free, everybody! This week. Pick it up before Friday, March 30th. Links for all three books can be found on Nikki's blog, moore-books.com. That's Moore, M-O-O-R-E, with two O's, dash books, you know how to spell books, also with two O's, .com, or search for Chronicles of Kalan, C-A-L-A-N, on Amazon.
Nice. Nice. All right, well, let's get to the headlines today. Hey, you know, Uber, you and I prefer Lyft, but mm-hmm. Uber's a deal, they're a thing.
Probably taking a lot of Lyfts in Vegas.
Yeah, Lyft is big in Vegas, right? They do good there.
They're both big, and you get both of them, outside in different areas than the taxi services. But they're both big there. As a matter of fact, a lot of people drive for both. A lot of people who drive for Lyft and Uber in Vegas are former cab drivers, oddly enough.
Oh, weird. They've found they can't fight it. They may as well join it, kind of thing.
Totally. If you can't beat them, join them. Yep.
I could see that. I wonder if they make more. I'd be very curious to talk to one of them. I wonder if they make more.
I bet they totally do. I don't think you'd move if you didn't. Yeah, I don't think you'd switch.
I think so. I think you're right. I don't know. What a
weird...
But
then you own your own car as opposed to driving a taxi that you rent, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that right? You pay some kind of... Yeah, what do you do with that?
Pay like a fee to the cab company for use of their vehicle.
Right, and you have some kind of medallion or something that's like says that this is yours, and you can pass it down father to son, and whatever. But you got to pay to keep it, or I don't know what the deal is. Oh, was it New York? Buy a medallion? That's what the chat room's saying. I remember hearing that somewhere.
I'd love driving for Lyft. I think I'd get so much content for the show if I had time. I think it would be a really fun job because I've got a good car for it. The Kia Soul.
Oh, perfect.
Feels like the perfect Lyft vehicle. It's roomy. You know, you don't have to squat down to climb inside like I have with some cars, and just doesn't have a lot of cargo space. So if you're three people and a bunch of luggage, you might want the Bronco or something.
Yeah, but if you're going, you're just going across town or, you know, somewhere quick, mm-hmm. Brian's got you covered.
And I'd be like the best one. Like, I'd provide them with water and place to charge their phones. I'd have like phone chargers in every seat.
Yeah.
And I would give you trivia questions as we drove you to your destination.
I'd like that. I'd love that you would be like a super, like, I don't know. You'd be like,
I'd almost be cash cab without the lights, basically, yeah. And the money and the cash.
And the cash.
And the cab, really, I guess when you look at it.
Yeah. And the annoying questions that you keep asking people.
That's right.
Is that still
right.
a thing? Anyway. Is that guy, is that a show? Or is
yeah, he's still doing it. It disappeared for a while, and I think it came back last year. And I don't know if it's still going, but it's...
And he has to do it in New York where there's still cabs or else...
That's right. It's the Dirty Jobs guy, isn't it?
No, it's a different dude. Dirty Jobs is Mike Rowe. That guy is... Mike Rowe spends all his time on Fox News now as a commentator for some reason.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, he's on there all the time. It's the most dangerous the
cab guy.
I forgot his name.
Benjamin Ray Bailey.
There it is. Mm. Sounds like a okay. serial.
Ben Bailey. Mm.
Benjamin right. Ray Bailey was jailed today after suspicion. It sounds like a serial killer to me.
It totally is. Well, when you give him the three names, yeah.
Yeah, can't help it. Anyway, this Uber driver got stuck driving downstairs. Not supposed mm-hmm. to be doing that. And now he's blaming Uber's navigation system. Now, I'm not a giant fan of Uber and some of their corporate practices, but I'm going to say this. I don't think it's their fault you drove down some stairs.
No, I think that was a choice you made. I think I know a shortcut here.
I'm going to really cut down on my time today.
That's right.
Says
do you want to get there by 11 or do you want to get there by 11:15? It's your choice.
It says he took a wrong turn, ended up accidentally driving down the stairs leading out of a parking lot in a grocery store in San Francisco. The car, which had Uber passengers in it, ended up getting stuck and had to be towed away. The incident occurred Monday afternoon, just outside of Safeway in the city's upper market area. Uber confirmed that the driver was driving on behalf of the app at the time. Is that how they say that? On behalf of the app?
I'm driving on behalf of the app. I guess. I mean, as opposed to driving on your own?
You should just say on behalf of the company, maybe? And the app, it's just a weird way to say it. I feel like Uber's always doing that. They're pushing everything. It's like saying, oh, no, it's the app. It's the app. It's the app. Instead right, of ever right. being, no, it's us. It's us.
And what's funny is I thought they all used Waze. I thought that they said, you know, make sure you've got a copy of Waze. You use Waze because it not only tells you how to get to your destination, but also will redirect you a lot better than Google Maps or Apple if there's traffic.
That's a good point.
Slowdown issues.
It says here, Uber confirmed the driver was on behalf of them. The trip was an Uber pool, so that's different, I guess, than just a regular Uber, which allows multiple passengers to carpool together, and the car was headed to pick up a third passenger at the time he went down the stairs. None of the occupants were injured or hurt. A spokesperson for Uber told MarketWatch that the company is aware of the incident, has gotten in touch with the parties involved, is looking into what happened. Driver told Business Insider he was following Uber's navigation system at the time. He was quoted as saying... the app software led him to drive down the stairs. He doesn't say whether that's Waze or not, so who knows?
Right.
I don't know what
right.
they're doing. They're weird. Waze is kind of cool. I use Waze when we're...
Yeah, I used Waze for quite a while because it let me change my car to an X-Wing fighter.
What? Shut up.
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
a little icon then, deal?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right, so like your little navigation would show your car as an X-Wing fighter, and you could have Anthony Daniels giving you directions. You're going to want to turn here.
No way.
Yes.
Was it actual
Watch
Anthony
out for
Daniels?
Those stairs. R2-D2 can't do stairs.
Because didn't Fletcher do... Oh, that may have been for Garmin. Scott Fletcher
it was
did
for
a...
Garmin, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. He should do more
I think
of that.
Hunts the Wind has a... Might have an A's or a Waze audio pack you can download. Or unless it could even be... I could be completely wrong. Hunts the Wind might have one that's for DBM or something.
Oh. I wonder how hard that is to do. Can you just make your own and put it up there? Do you have to?
I have no idea. I think you get like a list of the things you need to say.
Are they just words and the phrases, probably?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not random like, stuff like, you missed your turn, dumb shit, like that.
But then you'll say things like, well, you could probably do that. I don't know how much they screen them and make sure you're not saying, listen, you poop and poop.
Yeah. By the way, that's another, I got to put it in the swear jar. Hold on.
Oh, did you actually say something?
Yeah, I said shit. I did it again. Hold on.
Oh, all right. What'd you say?
That's two now. That's it. You can probably fool me into it again, honestly.
Yeah, probably.
Here's a weird story. A former Disney star is joining the White House press team. So
really running out of applicants.
It feels like it, doesn't it, a little bit? The qualified applicants are running thin. The White House press office is getting a bit more sunshine these days. Former Disney Channel star Caroline Sunshine, that is. She's joining the team as a press assistant. She's 22. She is known for her role along Zendaya as Tinka Hessenpfeffer in Shake It Up, which was a Disney Channel show about teen dancers that ran from 2010 to 2013.
I don't know any of the words you just said.
I don't either. Zendaya, I know, because a star. Or
she was Mary Jane Watson. Not Mary Jane. She was
MJ, or what do they call her?
Ellen or whatever, yeah.
Well, they call her MJ, but she's not supposed to be. She's not supposed to be MJ, right?
I didn't think they had. I thought it was the other girl that we found out might have been MJ.
Hold on. I don't remember now. Spider-Man.
I thought Zendaya was. Wasn't she Liz Allen? Oh, just playing Michelle? Okay.
Michelle something, though, right? The last name was a J, and she said it at the end, and it was like the big reveal that her initials are MJ.
See, I thought it was the girl that hung out with them in the lunch area that turned out to be
MJ. Yeah, that's her. Isn't that Zendaya? Isn't that she? She's kind of...
Oh, no, I thought that was the main...
She's a little bit scrubby and little scruffy, kind of tomboyish. Type character.
Okay, I'm thinking of Laura Harrier, who played Liz. I guess that's who I was thinking of, not
I gotta see that movie again.
No, I was confusing his love interest through two-thirds of the movie with the big reveal at the end that the woman that's been, or the girl that's been hanging out with him in the lunchroom is actually.
Well, you know what I like a lot? Spider-Man Homecoming. That movie was great.
That was really good. Apparently I need to watch it again.
I feel like maybe I will. I really liked it. It was great. And what I liked about it the most, it was co-written by John Francis Daly, the little nerd kid from Freaks and Geeks.
Right.
Wrote that movie, which is awesome. He's doing all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, there we
like
go.
Now.
So Zendaya was the one with the Terrence Trent D'Arby hair that hung out with him in the lunch area.
That's the
one.
But
the love interest was Liz throughout most of the movie. And then it was...
Yep.
And she was there the whole time. The woman that you've been looking for has been under your nose the whole time, Peter Parker. Anyway, back to Caroline Sunshine.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, wow, look at him. John Francis Daly doing all kinds of rad stuff right now. He wrote Spider-Man Homecoming. The $40,000 Man, I don't know what that is. He's doing that masked mobile armor strike command thing from based on the 90s cartoon. Oh, I'm all in, dude. This guy's great. You're not just a little nerd from that show anymore, kid. You've done well with yourself. Anyway, this girl's going to be in there. She's a California native. She established her career apart from the entertainment industry and was most recently a White House intern. So she's going from intern to that. She's also known for the 2010 film Marmaduke. She was in Marmaduke.
Well, then she's with experience like that. And how could she, by the way, not be from California, right? Caroline Sunshine?
Oh, it has to be.
That's not a Michigan name.
No Midwest going on there.
Yeah. Sorry, people from Michigan, but come on.
Yeah.
Let's agree that that's not a Michigan name.
No, it's not very sunshiny there either.
That's actually more, that's a Disney / Nickelodeon name. Anyway, that's not like a regular human name.
Caroline nobody's called this. This is fake. She went to she went downtown and changed it.
She paid $10.
She had to. Though she keeps a low profile in the press shop, she has more than 500,000 Twitter followers in her verified account and 235,000 followers on Instagram. So she's kind of got this popularity going in. President Donald J. Trump in recent weeks have hired other staff with cable television backgrounds. CNBC host Larry Kudlow was tapped earlier this month. Tapped. That means something very different.
Wait till he taps out.
Yeah. As head of White House White House National Economic Council, and now John Bolton, the Fox News analyst, will be the next National Security Advisor. One of those guys I'm okay with. The other one can bite me in the cheese. I'll let you guess which one.
Yeah, is it the one who's like just wants to push all the buttons?
Yeah, has a nice sweet mustache and that guy's great.
Can't wait to hear more from Caroline Sunshine. Maybe next time Sarah Huckabee Sanders is taking leave, taking a vacation, then Caroline Sunshine can be our press correspondent.
Well, my prediction has been, I don't think we got Huckabee Sanders very much longer. She's looking really, this wears you out. That job adds like 100 years to these people. Yeah, Spicer turned into like a weird looking, like an onion. He just looked like an onion.
He turned into Scary Spicer is who he turned into.
Yeah, Scary Spicer.
He started out as Posh Spicer. I guess maybe he started out as Baby Spicer, then became Posh Spicer, and then at the end was Scary Spicer.
Yeah, that sounds right. All right, what else we got going here? Restaurants are making big money off people who aren't eating and just sitting there.
Hmm.
Wonder how this works. So if you and I go to I assume this includes like Starbucks and things like this, but if you can't sell enough food and booze, try marketing the toilet. Slammed by soaring costs of food, labor, and rent, New York bars, restaurants, and nightclubs are using a growing crop of third-party apps and services to rent out their dining rooms, coat check areas, and even the shitter. Oh, dang it. Hold on.
Oh, yes.
Put another one in.
Scott's going to need to start his own Patreon just to support his swears habit.
Yeah, it's a problem. I don't even know why I'm doing it. I don't care that much. I'm doing it for that guy, the guy that complained. Listen, don't ever say I don't do something for listeners in very personal ways, okay? instead of paying a lot of money for Facebook or Yelp ads, we let restaurants promote a free drink or discount to other users after they use the facilities. So if they went and used a toilet, they may get a better deal on a drink or something. Lulu app, as it's called, generates a digital bathroom pass. And charging anywhere from 99 cents to a duck?
No, to duck. There's no A.
Oh, I'm sorry. If it did, it would be really weird and they
might be great. Yeah, exactly.
Also, 99 cents to a buck is only 1 cent. So that's a dumb sentence.
It's saying 99 cents to duck into a pizza.
No, I know. I read that as buck, or I read that as a typo of buck. And in my head, I'm thinking, why would you say 99 cents to a buck? But there is no, and it's duck. So you're right. Brian is totally right. Into a pizza dive for $5 for a swanky bathroom that offers lotion, super private stalls, and high-end hand towels. The restaurant gets 65% of the fee. Restaurants do not want to hear our pitch because it's just too weird, he says.
Created this app does not list Vandalay Industries or G.Costanza as a developer for this thing, they're missing out, because this is absolutely the George. If Seinfeld was around in the smartphone age, Costanza would have come up with an app to do this, to find the best bathrooms in New York.
Yeah.
Because he had the internal map. He could tell you.
Yeah. He knew anyway. If they don't have it on there, like the Our Story link on the website, you guys aren't given proper credit.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Would you do this if you lived
in
New York?
Like, use the bathroom?
Yeah, well, but I mean, like, if you already knew that the deli up the street had a really nice bathroom, wouldn't you just go there? Just go? They're not going to stop you.
What I'm saying is, I think if the restaurant is in coordination with Lulu app, then they might not let you use the bathroom unless you're... Unless you're a patron. And this would allow me to say, okay, let me get one of those pickled eggs right there. Thanks. All right, now I'm going to go to the bathroom. Probably for two reasons.
I've never eaten a pickled egg. Are they any good?
They are good, yeah.
Really?
What you need is a scotch egg.
Oh, tell me about this. What's this?
This is a Scottish thing, as you might guess. Okay. And it's like an egg that's been pickled and is it deep fried with panko? So it's crunchy on the outside.
Oh, yeah. That looks like panko to me.
They're so good.
My wife does things with panko. That definitely
hard-boiled egg wrapped in sausage meat, coated in breadcrumbs, and baked or deep fried. So it's not pickled. It's just a hard-boiled egg that's had all this stuff done to it.
But you still put it. But there's still like this outer layer of panko, right? Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Ooh, that looks good. Oh, I'd eat that.
Oh yeah, in a heartbeat. Why don't people send us those?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell Kim to make these.
Kim, make some scotch eggs.
Hey Kim, get off your butt. No, she's never on her butt.
Wrapped in sausage meat. So do you get like
it's like plastic.
You must get like the ground sausage and just basically wad it around the.
Yeah, the way this picture makes it look in this image I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can find this for you. Here you go. I put it in the
Discord. Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah,
it's like a little patty wrapped around it.
Right.
I would so eat this.
roll it in panko and deep fry it.
By the way, you know what I'm into? The trend for the trend that is Netflix kind of outdoing Food Network in terms of programming. Mm-hmm. There's so many shows, and I know some of them are imported from Britain and some other things, but
yeah.
The cooking shows that are on Netflix are awesome, and there's no commercials. And for me, what ruins Food Network is constant commercials.
So let me tell you, and I was going to talk about this during recommendals. This was not going to be my recommendal.
Oh, good. A little bonus here.
I was
going to
talk about this in recommendals. Right. This is the new show, and J.C. Calhoun just mentioned it in the chat. It's Nailed It. And I'm a reality show guy, right? I like the reality show cooking competition. Well, some of them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched a couple episodes of Cake Boss and like, all right, well, that's enough of that. But I like Hell's Kitchen and I dig that sort of thing.
Yeah, you dabble.
But the host for Nailed It. So there's a fundamental truth for game show hosting, reality show hosting, and people like Phil Keoghe from Amazing Race and what's his face from Survivor, Jeff Probst, totally get this, where you're not what people are tuning in to see. The players, the contestants are who you're tuning in to see. So you need to scale it back. That's why Jeff Probst basically scripts the whole thing. Come on in, guys. You want to know what you're playing for? All that stuff is like said exactly the same way every week.
Right.
The host of Nailed It is so over the top obnoxious the whole time, as opposed to maybe save like do 20% of it as over the top goofiness and save the other 80% to be kind of straight ahead. Like, all right, what are you going to be making for us? Instead of, what are you going to be making for us to put in our pie holes?
Yeah. I heard that the host is super annoying. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because I love the concept of amateur bakers that are shown a thing that they have to make and then they have to make it, you know?
Yeah. It's, yeah. So maybe a misstep on the host. They've got some other cool travel-y cookie things. My wife really got into this one from this, she's from Vietnam originally, but she was raised in Australia and I don't know her name. Someone in the chat may know this. Her name's Pho something. Anyway, it's a really nice kind of Anthony Bourdain without his existential angst bullcrap that he's way into, where he's like into a town and going, the last time I was in this part of the world, I had 14 sex slaves and set my hair on fire. Also, they've got really good, whatever. Like, it's not like that, but it's like that in terms of like travel and all that. It's really good. And I just think that they have an opportunity to capitalize on here to be the place where people go for their cooking show content.
I agree.
And because, I mean, I would even take like a Diners, Drive-Ins and Dash, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah.
I would take that kind of thing, but without constant commercials. Like, mm-hmm. Just give me a show where you travel around, eat weird food, talk about the people who live there.
I mean, that's what I like about Bourdain. That's what I kind of like about the man versus food guy.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of grates on me a little bit too, unfortunately. But
there's a new guy now, right, though? Some new guy?
Oh, really? Is there a new guy on Man vs. Food?
Yeah, the old guy's
Did
gone
food
now.
Finally win?
Yeah. Food killed that guy.
Man zero, food one.
I think he just quit, and there's just a new guy now.
Okay.
I can't remember his name. Someone will find it, but it's, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, Bourdain's definitely toned his stuff down. I'm not saying he's terrible, Lennon. I'm saying that that's his thing, right? He's last time I was in this part of Borneo, I had a tattoo that got infected, and I had a dream, and it was about a monkey. And it, like, he's really into that weird stuff. But then lately, like his lately stuff is his CNN thing's better, and whatever. I'm not a Bourdain hater. In fact, I'm entertained by it. So I don't want the chat room to get me wrong.
TV Zegon says the guy from Man vs. Food had a huge fight with a fan on Twitter and got fired.
Oh, really?
Wow, we need this. Where's this article? We need to...
New Man versus Food Guy. Oh, my gosh.
I do want to see Somebody Feed Phil. I do want to watch Ugly Delicious. Both of those look really fascinating. Oh,
Somebody Feed Phil is great.
Yeah.
Really good. Also, there's another Phil one that's on there where Phil does
Everybody
things.
Loves Phil or something.
Phil. Everybody sees Phil. I don't know what it is. Oh, yeah, here's the new guy. This is the new guy. Chat room here. I'll show you. This is your new food man.
And,
he's
and
kind
TV
of a.
You gotta put a link in the chat room
about the fight.
The fight. Yeah.
Let's see what we got here. Oh yeah.
Adam Instagram Richmond. Rant.
Man versus Food gets a nasty fight on Instagram over Thinspiration hashtag. He always struck me as a bit of a poop. You know what I mean?
He's a guy you'd hang out with in a bar and I don't know. I mean, I think he'd be a guy you get a beer with.
Sure.
But maybe not necessarily.
He wouldn't be your best man at your wedding.
Right. Yes, exactly.
But you get a beer with him, sure. Yeah. You get a beer and a bunch of really hot wings.
Wings, right. And a big bucket of wings.
All right. That's funny. The chat room's thinking the same thing. Eat wings with. Yep, we agree.
Yep, pretty much.
Final story. Amazon Echo. I'm not going to say her name because she'll go off. Thinks her name is A Lot of Sex. Hold on. Nope, didn't work this time. I got this to work upstairs on the show.
Oh, really?
I'm going to try to say it a little bit different. A lot of sex. A lot of sex. A lot of sex. A lot of sex. Oh, she did it. Cancel.
You have to say it like you're Mario. A lot of sex.
Did it work?
No, it didn't work.
A lot of sex.
A lot of sex. A lot of sex. Nope.
All right, well, that is supposedly what is happening. Amazon's Echo is thinking that when people say a lot of sex, although it's not working for me when I say it normally, she's responding. A few weeks ago, the internet was freaking out about the glitch where you had the whole laughing creepily out of nowhere thing.
Right.
Well, now there's some other hidden flaws. There's a new one every day. The last week was somebody was talking to his girlfriend about a Netflix show called Wild Wild Country. I recommended that last week on the podcast. Mm. Or maybe I didn't. Did I? Was that my recommendal? Ah, I don't remember.
I think it was, wasn't it Take Your Pills?
Brian, no, that was Nicole. Forget everything 80% of what I said.
Sure, I know. See, again, we're absolutely examples of the forget 80% of what we learn every day.
Yep. He says, one of the things I mentioned is how the guru in that movie featured in the show would encourage the members of his community to have a lot of sex. Did it work? Nope. Hmm. Right then, unprompted, the Echo started joining in on the conversation and saying, I don't know that.
I get that all the time, though. Like, we'll be watching TV, and our Echo is in the room behind us.
Yeah.
And there'll be something on the TV, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we'll hear her say, I don't know that one.
I know. I don't understand how that's going off. It doesn't make sense to me. And how, like, you know, they have their commercial. Their commercials, they kind of muffle it or make it sound weird when the
or
people
they just
say
have it. They have something. They do something to where she knows not to respond to that one. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It's really weird that they pulled that off. Yet a lot of sex can also do it, I guess. A lot of sex. A lot of sex. A lot of sexa. Alexa. Oh, it worked. Cancel.
Wow, really amazing.
Weird. You had said her name. How weird.
It's amazing how that worked. Wow.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Tom's Tech Time, recommendals, and more. But before that, music, please.
Sure. And here's the funny thing. The band that we're going to be listening to is called Exit Music.
Oh, great.
Is all one word. The two members of Exit Music are Devin Church and Alexa Palladino.
Oh, no. Did it go off? Did yours go off when you said it?
Mine didn't go off. I'm amazed.
Oh, weird.
You said it so fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's also an actress, by the way, who starred in Halt and Catch Fire, The Sopranos, Boardwalk Empire, and is currently in that new Martin Scorsese thing, The Irishman.
Oh, I want to see that.
She's also a musician, and she began writing songs while she was in her early teens, just a few years before she followed the acting bug into that direction. These two met in New York, and they soon began writing and recording together. This is some very cool, ethereal, atmospheric pop, and I'm totally digging it. The brand new album is called The Recognitions, and it's going to be coming out on April 20th. 420, dude. It'll be coming out on April 20th this year, so make sure you go pick it up. Again, the album is called The Recognitions. Here are Exit Music with Iowa.
Takes a lot of time. Fine tobaccos.
Hillary for president or Wiener as husband.
This is the morning stream. We're doing it for Kowalski.
That's right, doing it for Kowalski. Welcome back, everybody. I liked that a lot. That was great.
Yeah, the whole album's really, really good, but that's kind of a standout track for sure.
That's like free hotel. That's right, free hotel room. I like everything Brian brings. I like Bob. He's fine.
Yes, we love Bob.
Actually, I love Bob for a cranky bastard he is. That's why I like him. Wait, right? Does bastard count? Do I have to put a coin in for bastard? Is that a swear word?
Yeah, I think you got to put a coin in for bastard.
All right. Here we go.
And for saying it a bunch of times.
for repeating the word bastard over and over.
Repeating it over and over.
Yeah. I could see that. All right. Let's get our good buddy Tom Merritt in here. Let's make some noise for the boy. Let's hear it for the boy. All right, here's the thing we play for him.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man with the plan is Tom Merritt. Hi, Tom.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fun.
Oh, yeah, dude. Those were good times back then. Thinking of the 80s. Hey, it's Tom Merritt, a guy I've seen a lot of lately. You and I have been podcasting a lot and doing a lot of things, and that's great. To have you here one more capacity is also great. So welcome to the show.
I apologize for missing TMS last week. It wasn't because I spaced out and was off my routine. There just wasn't anything interesting happening in tech.
Yeah, that
hasn't been for a while now.
Just basically said, man, no news, goodbye.
Yep, see ya.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that was all of us.
Was it all my fault and stupid? It was, you know, who cares much about Facebook or people dying in self-driving car crashes? It's just boring.
Sure. Yeah. Who cares? Tech. I'm so over it. Actually, I'm not at all. I really like tech. And that's the nice thing about Wednesdays. Tom comes on this show and gives us a little taste, a preview, a nibble of what might be to come on Daily Tech News Show later today. Tom, what's happening in the technology world?
Not much. The Facebook thing is still dragging out. The rumors today are that Facebook won't announce its smart speaker because smart speakers creep people out because they listen to you ask for sex or something.
Yeah.
And that's not what Facebook's worried about. Facebook's worried about all this data collection fury, and so they're not going to wade into that battle, is what people are saying. Mm. But they will still come out with a smart speaker, according to the sources out there.
So that was already. I didn't know this was even in the plan. I missed this.
Oh,
one.
Yeah. Now this has been kicking around as a rumor for a while, okay. And it's hard to tell whether. How serious it is. I'm sure Facebook's considering it and designing one. Why wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
When it will come now is even less determinant.
If it's not in the shape of a little suit cuff and a little white hand gloved hand going like this, then why even bother if you're not going to give a thumbs up?
Seriously. Yeah. The other thing is the NextWeb did a little analysis of several data points out there and says, it looks like people are deleting their Facebook.
Oh.
Facebook's monthly active user data has shown increases of more than 4% since January in the US and UK. Could be a lot of people going to Facebook to lock down their privacy settings.
Yeah.
App Annie reported a brief drop in Facebook downloads last week. So there was an effect, but it seems to have just popped back right up to normal levels.
Kind of what I expected. I knew when people started.
Elon Musk, yeah. Playboy, I guess, is the latest to delete their Facebook presence, but most people don't mean it. They use the hashtag on Twitter.
A lot of people, my experience is most people don't know about it. Like my mom and people who use Facebook very frequently have no idea what this is. They don't know. They heard something maybe that there was some deal, but as far as they're concerned, that doesn't change how they let their friend know that I'll be late for lunch on Friday and also look at this funny cat video. Like they just keep going, you know.
And you say, Mom, don't you realize that a professor in England gave data on Mechanical Turk people to a weird, sleazy outfit without Facebook's permission? Delete Facebook.
And she'd say, it didn't work because I voted for Evan McMillan. That's what she'd say.
Hey, now, don't out your mom.
Oh, yeah. I guess I gave more info away than the guy did at the freaking university. Oops.
Almost. Anyway. No, this is going to be haunting Facebook for a while, but it does look like it probably will fade away.
Yeah.
I think that if I was going to pull a positive out of this whole mess, it's that at least more people, maybe not your mom, but more people now realize what Facebook is actually collecting. There is a lot of misinformation and FUD about the fact that they used to collect more information and they don't anymore.
Yeah.
But the big deal today is Facebook simplified its privacy settings from 20 pages to one.
Oh, my Lord.
So it's all the same settings. It's all the same controls. But they finally simplified. Did some UI work.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
No kidding.
So do you make anything of the stock price drop? That's probably temporary, 18% loss or whatever it was.
I'll be honest, you guys. I never pay attention to stock prices, ever.
Yeah.
I find them to be nothing but misdirection. It's like a stopped clock being right as far as whether a stock price going up or down means anything. So I just ignore that. And you'll notice, like DTNS, we don't talk about the effect of stock price of news. The only things we get into are earnings reports, if they're significant, and IPOs. And even on IPOs, I don't even really care what the numbers do because they almost always jump right away.
Sure.
It's more, I like to focus more on what the companies are actually doing and sales numbers, shipping numbers. Those seem to be things that are meaningful.
So
stock price, which can go up or down for all kinds of reasons.
So the next earnings report from Facebook would be the interesting data point, probably, if there was any change.
It will be interesting to see what their monthly active users are over that time, what their total accounts are, if they see actual precipitous drop. Yeah, that'll be the thing to look for.
Well, I'm not dumping my account because I already knew what was in there. I mean, none of this came as a surprise to me. I already knew what data was there, and it's they didn't ever, you know, like Tom mentioned on Current Geek Kit last night. In fact, I'm going to recommend if anybody was looking for a really definitive conversation about what this thing is, and you've somehow missed DTNS for the last 2 weeks. Really good summation on Current Geek last night. So either go to DTNS and catch some other episodes, which I also recommend, or listen to that and you'll go, oh, all right, well, this makes more sense now. If somebody's out there going, did you hear about the Facebook data breach? You need to roll your eyes and walk the other way.
Just be like, first of all, it's not a breach.
Yeah.
Second of all, it didn't involve data. And third, there's no such thing as Facebook.
Right.
And then see if they could actually figure out which of the three things you said was actually true.
Yeah, it's like that game where you tell one lie and the other stories are true.
The truth's
and you gotta figure
lie.
Out.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's the truth. The other two are lies.
I like that game a lot. Well, anyway, there's that and so much more on the Daily Tech News Show. If you're not already subscribed to that show, you're crazy. And how can you even live with yourself? Seriously.
A lot of people who are subscribed are also crazy. In fact, some of the hosts.
Yeah, some of these hosts, man, and these guest hosts you have.
In fact,
I don't
the
know.
The guy who started it.
What a nutbag. Oh, I know. Yeah. It's you think Wild Wild Country is a weird documentary? Wait till you see Daily Tech News Show. Anything else happening? I know there's some book stuff happening in your life. What's going on?
Yeah, bookity book stuff. If you heard about or liked Pilot X, which was my Inkshares novel about a time traveler, there's a follow-up in the works. And you can make it happen by backing it on Inkshares. Pre-order it right now at inkshares.com/book/Trigor. That's the name of the book, T-R-I-G-O-R, which I have not revealed what Trigor means. So I'm gonna give you a TMS exclusive.
Wow. All right.
You didn't want to go with Pilot X squared or
Pilot Y.
Pilot Y.
That's usually what I get.
Personal. Yeah.
No. Trigor is the name of a universe-threatening device.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
All right. I'm into Trigor. So, Trigor is a great name.
It could trigger the destruction of the universe.
Right. Triggered. Snowflake. Cook. Anyway. I hate those words.
I spelled it different. T-R-I-G-O-R.
Nicely done. Do check totally those out. TomMerrittBooks.com. And of course, Ace Detect on Twitter for all the latest and the greatest. Tom Merritt, have a fantastic day. And we'll see you again.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Goodbye.
See ya.
All right. Whoops. Why are you over there? There you are now.
Oh, hi. Oh,
hi.
I was way over there.
I didn't see you there.
Oh, gosh.
How weird. All right. It's Nicole Spagnuolo time. That's right. drop your linen. I've already said that one today. Poke your hole and give us more. That doesn't mean anything at all.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know what I'm saying. It's Nicole Spagnuolo, everybody. Brian's movie partner tonight.
That's right.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Ava's been coughing her head off.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, dude, she's not ready to be player one.
It's weird. Yeah, it's weird because she's not, like, acting sick. She's just coughing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do
maybe she has an hairball. I don't know. I don't know kids. I understand children.
Tristan would always cough up a hairball, so... So wait a minute. Are you? Is this maybe she caught it from that weird place you went with the floor that she was rolling on, that psycho?
Oh, that little rolly tunnel thing at the Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
No, I took her there with a cough. Oh. So somebody else got it.
All right, that's totally fine.
Well, it's funny because she didn't cough at all while we were there.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and she's not acting sick. She's just coughing.
What's that?
I don't know. That parenting thing where you're like, am I bad for going out?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Let's see how it goes. You know, the Oasis waits for no cough or something like that. That's the old phrase goes.
Something like that, yeah.
It's Nicole Spag, everybody. We do recommendals on Wednesdays, and we talk about movies and streaming stuff that we've seen on streaming services, typically Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and the like. Sometimes we stray out of that, but who knows what today will bring? We can only find out by checking. Brian, you always start. So you
wait,
oh yeah.
I just want to tell Brian in person, I hate him for recommending that damn documentary.
Which one?
From the Wreck of the Unbelievable, which was my bonus recommendal last week.
Oh, I watched that last night, and I texted him like, "Damn you."
I really want to see this now because everyone,
the
listeners said the same thing. We got listeners going, "Oh my gosh, that documentary was so good! I can't believe Brian." You know, or I'm so glad Brian recommended it or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then there was also somebody called me a Nazi online for recommending.
Really? Why?
You have no soul. You have to watch it to find out.
You have to watch it to find out.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Watch it.
I'm going to watch it. I've got it
right. I mean, it is a beautiful documentary.
Yeah. Well, it's cute. It's queued up right after Littlest Prince or whatever. It's right after that.
Oh, good. The Littlest Prince.
Yeah.
The way they set things up, though, there are times. So. I mean, the idea is it's a treasure hunt, and they find all this treasure. So, but the way they set things up, I keep thinking, like, somebody was going to die, or, like, the Medusa head, because they had, like, things over the Medusa's eyes. I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to take it off, and somebody's going to turn to stone. I'm like, wait, this is a documentary.
Yeah, jeez. Holy crap.
But, yeah.
So. I need to watch it. Everybody was talking about it. Brian, you're not a Nazi, just so you know.
I know I'm not a Nazi.
Yeah, I don't think you have Nazi behavior or tendencies at all.
I'm curious to see what you think of it once you've seen it.
I would love to know what Scott thinks of it.
All right, I'm in. I've got it all queued up. All right, let's play your thing, Brian. You got any setup for this?
Brand new, and I'm not going to tell you anything else. It's brand new.
Oh, I like that. Here you go.
Yep.
Hey, man.
Are you seeing this beautiful morning? What are you doing?
How are you?
What am I doing? I'm set up here like you asked me to.
Oh, right. Duh.
This heat is urgent.
This is Ryan Madison.
Familiar to my slaughterous thoughts.
Hey, man. Are you new to this class?
Help me out.
Ryan, you're up.
I'm going to do the scene with him.
And action.
Oh, is this that new thing in HBO with Bill Hader?
It's exactly what it is.
Oh, it's Barry. Barry.
Oh, I want to
see
this.
For a minute, I thought
so
you were
bad.
Recommending The Disaster Artist again.
You know, it did sound like Tommy Wiseau, right?
Yeah, or he's got some new Hitman movie coming out, so it was real close to... But I'm thinking that's not out yet, so there's no way Brian saw this. I want to see Barry so bad.
It's great. It's on HBO. First episode just came out last Sunday. It's kind of following Silicon Valley. If you're one of those people who still watches HBO on cable, but it is by Alec Berg, who also did who does Silicon Valley. So it's that same kind of humor level, a little bit different. If you feel like Silicon Valley is a little too snarky, this one's a little bit less so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still excellent. Bill Hader is fantastic.
Mm.
I guess he's a co-producer as well, or co-executive producer. It's got Henry Winkler. It's got Stephen Root, who is good in every single thing he does.
I love him so much. Yeah.
And it's about a hitman who discovers that he also has a love for acting. And
and it's like stage acting, right? Like he's trying to
stage acting.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, which
exactly.
is even better.
And so he. He is torn between his profession and his love. So I'm not going to say any more than that. It's really, really funny. And just the first episode where they do all the setup, I can imagine once they've finished the origin story, you're going to get so much more, and it's going to be so much better.
It's kind of a Gross Point Blankish, or what am I to expect in terms of that? You know, that tone of like, I just shot a guy in the head, but now I'm happily going to.
Actually, kind of, yeah. You will get that.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that dark comedy approach to that material.
Mm-hmm. Where it's less like Winston Wolfe in Pulp Fiction, and more like you say, Gross Point Blank.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Well, good. I'm in. I want to see this. So first episode's out. I wish they binged.
Barry.
I know. This is one of those that I would just love to just rip through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And just kind of on a side note, we did finish binging Punisher.
Yeah.
I was going to use that as a recommendal, but I've already talked about it on here that we're in the middle of it. And so good from start to finish.
Yeah. Heard nothing but good things. Still need to see it.
Gruesome. Just be prepared. It's Punisher. It's going to be bloody. There will be blood.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
I heard from, I can't remember if he tweeted me or somehow, Jerry Conway, co-creator of the Punisher, said that they finally got it right. So that must be good.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Did you know that you could watch Barry for free?
What?
The first episode?
Oh, really? What?
I just went to hbo.com/Barry. And you can watch the first episode.
Oh, of course, very nice.
They give you the free razor so that you buy the blades.
That's cool.
They want to hook you.
That's that thing.
There's a free razor, but the blades will cost you $7.99 a month.
You gotta get those blades.
Or a printer.
No, that's great. So if you guys don't have HBO now or go down. You can see it for
go free. Now.
Yeah, go now.
I would love to know if anybody actually, you know, watches Barry and says, I think now is when I'm going to sign up. Forget Game of Thrones.
Right. Well, I mean, there are people who don't care about Game of Thrones and kind of miss the Sopranos kind of stuff. I mean, this is a little bit, it's obviously funnier than the Sopranos, but it's, and Boardwalk Empire. I mean, I guess if everything that HBO has released as far as original programming, this is probably closest to Silicon Valley.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I'm in. I want to see it. All right. Here's my clip. Let's see if you guys can figure out what this is. And where is it? Okay. I lost my... Oh, there it is. Here we go.
Sheriff's office.
I need emergency assistance.
What's your location?
The Wind River Indian Reservation.
I'm Jane Banner, FBI.
Welcome to Wyoming. By yourself?
It's just me.
That's Corey Lambert. He's the one who found the body.
This is a homicide.
I knew that girl. She's a fighter.
Okay. Any ideas?
What is this? It's definitely a Scott movie.
Yeah, it's very dark.
Yeah, it sounds like...
It's very dark.
I don't know. I mean, Reservation almost sounds like the fictional representation of something that you've watched recently with... one of the cults, reservation cults.
It does kind of, but all right. So this had been rising in popularity on Netflix. It's not an original. It's just a movie that's there. I had not heard of it. I don't even know if this was in theaters. If it was, it was a very limited release, but it has big actors in it. It's got Jeremy Renner in there and, the Olsen girl, who's not weird. Can't think of her name. Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah.
She's great. And they're in this movie with a whole bunch of other people that I really like. For example, I always forget his name. The Indian actor Graham Greene, who's been in. If you're in a movie and there are American Indians, Native Americans in them, if Graham Greene's not in your movie, you've made a horrible error. The guy's great, and he should be in everything that needs someone of the Native American culture in it, and it should be Graham Greene.
What's the name of this?
It's called Wind River. And they kind of gave it away in the top of the dialogue there, but it's called Wind River. 2017, I thought it was fan-freaking-tastic. It's
cool.
Jeremy Renner, I think he's more of a hero in this than when he plays Hawkeye.
Yeah, and, well, it's a Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch with the Punisher, apparently.
Oh, exactly. I forgot about the Scarlet Witch thing. That's totally true. Oh, yeah, the Punisher's in this for a hot minute. Yeah, Barenthal's earlobes and all. They're all in this. It's directed by Taylor Sheridan, unknown to me previous to this, but it reminds me of, like, if you like anything sort of like The Killing or Silence of the Lambs is another good example, like that kind of tone. It's not serial killers per se in this, but just like there's a crime, we're out in the boonies, it's snow covered northern
Wyoming,
and it's really really rugged country and different world, really, and living on this reservation is also just making it very remote, and I loved it. I thought it was great. Just That's a cool. chilling FBI thriller-ish kind of thing that doesn't always go where you think it's going to go, and I respect it for that. And I thought Jeremy Renner was amazing in it. So pack your bags and grab your stuff. It's a good movie.
You really want to drop that.
I do.
Drop your linen, grab your women, and drop your linen.
I can't stop doing it for some reason. There's this actor in it who plays the father of the girl who dies in it. That's not a spoiler. It opens with this murder. They don't actually show the murder, but they hinted all these things. And sure. The guy's name is Tantu Cardinal. He plays Alex Crowhart, and he's awesome. Oh my gosh, he's good. So anyway. Wow. Give yourselves a fat favor and watch Wind River before it leaves Netflix, because it's really good. Okay.
Okay.
Moving on to Nicole Spagnuolo and her choice this week.
I'm going to send it to you, Scott.
All right.
I'm going to send it to you both. So, Brian, don't look.
I won't look. I'm not looking.
Brian's not looking.
scrolling down.
I'm not even looking. I'm going to close my eyes.
I've been watching a lot of TV shows.
It autoplayed. I didn't mean this to happen. Sorry. You're doing what? Say it again.
I said I'm watching a lot of TV shows on Netflix right now. So this is one of the... Oh. Besides the Joe McHale show, I've been watching this one too.
All right, very nice. I want to see that Love. Speaking of Joe McHale, what's her name in that Love show? Yeah. Did we recommend that already?
I finished the final season. There's three seasons.
I started it and I couldn't finish it.
Really?
It was because her character was so annoying.
She is very annoying.
I like her though.
Yeah, she's great. But her character, after three episodes or maybe five episodes, you finally get why he's attracted to her. But boy, she is tough to love for those first couple episodes.
Okay. Well, that's good morning. All right, here it is. I'm gonna play this without looking at what it is. I'm hitting the play button. Here we go.
Boys, you ready? The original show was fighting for tolerance. Our fight is for acceptance.
Let's do this.
I'm excited. Like, I don't know what to expect.
I'd like the Fab Five to help me get out of my comfort zone.
I think my dad is lonely.
I want her to be excited about the new me.
Remy is surviving, and I need him to start thriving.
How long does it take for this to accumulate?
Like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. Whoa, there's a lot going on in here.
Do you really not know what this is?
I have no idea. Huh. Okay, wait, let me look. I'm looking now. Oh, are you kidding? Oh, yeah, this is on... This is Queer Eye for Netflix.
This is the new Queer Eye on Netflix. Right,
okay.
Those guys didn't sound like the old Queer Eye people. This is the same cast.
Whole new cast. My favorite is Tan, who does the clothing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
All right.
But there was
the new Kai, basically.
Yeah.
Oh no, Kai was hair. It was
I don't even remember. I watched the old show, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, but I can't even remember. I know the food guy only because he does.
He's on everything now. Iron Chef.
So is this what they do? They
Presley.
They get the my memory of that show was all the gay dudes or the metrosexuals, they call them, or whatever that was.
No, they were homosexuals.
They were the homosexuals.
Yeah, but didn't that whole metrosexual thing come out of that? Am I thinking wrong?
You're thinking wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember. Anyway.
No, they just helped heterosexual guys be better at cooking, dressing,
cooking, fashion.
Grooming.
They also had women on the show too. So they helped women.
Oh, they helped women do stuff?
Really?
Yeah. I think later on in the season, I could have swore
changed the name of the show? Because that seems like a gross misrepresentation of what we're tuning in for.
Well, I don't know.
Metrosexual.
Well, and this one is just called Queer Eye.
Yeah.
Okay. And I've only gotten a few episodes in, but I'm smiling the entire time I'm watching it. The only guy that just maybe he'll grow on me is the grooming guy with the really long hair. He's okay, but the guys are great. So they specialize in like interior design. One guy specializes in like culture. So the first episode you actually heard him in that trailer was Thomas, he reminded me so much of my dad. So much of my dad.
The guy, the beard guy I'm looking at here?
The beard guy, and he smokes, and he's been divorced. Well, this guy's been divorced 3 times, and he's lonely, and he's just in a rut, and they come in, and I love the stories, and they have some good conversations. Mm. So, I really enjoyed, it's a feel good show. So
I'll watch it. I remember enjoying that. I remember enjoying the old one. I just don't remember much about it. But I remember enjoying it. I liked it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying.
I knew I wasn't crazy. You guys, I just found it. There's the origin of the term metrosexual was made popular on the old show, the old Bravo show, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Ding, 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 ding. There was somebody on there who talked about it once or something. I just remember this. So
okay.
I feel vindicated.
You should. Yeah. I had no idea. So is that what it says under metrosexual on Wikipedia?
Yeah. If you look under the changing masculinity.
Somebody went in there and
I was going to say, Scott, let me look at who just made changes to the document.
Have you guys ever tried to, I've never tried, but is it hard to edit
I tried years ago. I tried because Richard Cheese was hounding me to change his Wikipedia entry because people kept going in there and saying things about him, things that he did at the Coverville concert.
Yeah.
He wanted you to go change it?
He wanted me to go change it. Brian, could you tell your fans to stop putting horrible things about me on the, on my Richard Cheese Wikipedia page? And I'm like, I don't know what that is.
That's hilarious. I looked at her and
I was like, I don't understand. I don't know how to do any of this stuff.
Wow. I've never done it. I don't know how to do it. Anyway.
I tried once and it was full. Like they were like, well, you have to do this. This is, I'm like, okay. And then it was deleted. I was trying to do one for Mark, but
Well, I also looked up. I looked up metrosexual, and there's a picture of Mark. So I don't know what's going on now.
Well, that's wrong.
Yeah, he
with his cargo khaki shorts.
He's a man's man. Whatever that means.
He would be a good candidate for this show.
I would. I think I would too. I would like to see this. I will see it. In fact, they're planning on more of these. Is it a one off? Do we know?
I want to say I just saw something about season 2, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
I know that they just renewed The Toys That Made Us, which made me really happy.
Oh, really?
Oh, good. Yeah. More of that, so please. I love that.
Some more of that, which was such a great show. Yeah,
I love that.
The other show that I've been watching that I don't have a clip for is The One Day at a Time.
Oh, how's that?
Remake?
Yeah.
It's really good.
Really?
Really, really good. Funny. Rita Moreno is awesome in it.
She's an EGOT, you know.
She's an EGOT?
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. She's won all four.
Wow.
You know, I've seen her in concert too. It was in a little cabaret.
Did she come out and go, "Hey, you guys"? Wow. Like 8 people in the audience just got that. She was the voice of "Hey, you guys" on The Electric Company when we were kids.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Do you not remember The Electric Company?
I don't remember a lot.
You don't remember Morgan Freeman going...
I remember The Electric Company as a thing, but I don't remember details.
Oh, okay. So who plays... So in this One Day at a Time, is there a Schneider?
There is a Schneider.
Is it? It's not him, because Pat Harrington died, right?
Right. No, it's a new young guy, and he's a super, right? Like he goes around and fixes stuff. He doesn't have a pack of cigarettes rolled up. He's just a slick guy who Rita Moreno's character always flirts with, and there's just a lot of good chemistry with the actors. And usually episode one is the rough one, but I thought it was a great episode. Hmm.
He just died 2 years ago, in fact, just barely. Anyway.
She was on 6 Feet Under as the wife of, she's the main.
Francis.
I don't remember names. I'm terrible with
Bonnie
names.
Franklin? No. No. Valerie Bertinelli.
Somebody pull up IMDb before the listeners get mad at us.
Does Eddie Van Halen come on at any time? Does he show up and say, brings Valerie her lunch or something?
I haven't gotten that far into it, but I hear that Valerie Bertinelli does make a cameo.
She's listed in the cast, so that's why I was wondering.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think a lot of people didn't give this show a chance, and I know that they were trying to save the show, but I don't know if they've renewed it or not, but it's a really funny, good show.
So who's the main carryover? Rita Moreno, I guess. She's like your main.
Yeah.
She's
the grandmother.
Okay.
One day at a time.
Yeah. I see it right here. Tobolowsky's in it. I like him.
Yeah. Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yeah. Dr. Leslie Berkowitz is who he plays. All right. I'd get into this.
Anybody whose name I recognize from being on 6 Feet Under.
Justina Machado.
Machado. Machado.
Okay.
She was the wife of,
Oh, yeah. She played Vanessa Diaz.
Right. The embalmer's wife.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, never
almost
trust...
didn't recognize her in that because it's been forever since I.
Oh, yeah. No, she's great.
Never trust the embalmer's wife is my experience. well, that's right? great.
She's, this is one thing we can learn.
She's kind of she's the lead. And,
gotcha.
Well, it's really her and Rita Moreno. I mean, Rita Moreno. They can't even make fun of it because when she comes out at first, she has these curtains and she goes and she's like there and everybody claps. Yeah.
She's pretty.
Oh, is there a studio audience kind of thing?
Yeah.
With this?
Yeah. Oh,
it's really? It's okay. Like a three camera sitcom, mm-hmm. right? Like same yep. kind of deal. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting. I don't maybe I'll watch that instead of the Roseanne thing because I'm hearing that that's not funny. I heard it was.
Oh, really?
I heard that they've got some good nostalgia going on, but the actual funny is not there right now. And that
has anybody explained? And I imagine you find this out, but how we have Dan Connor back when he died?
They
at the
show
end of-
you in the show, but I don't know what it is.
Okay. I'm sure they just he comes up, to ignore it.
He comes up through the mud with Bill Forsythe.
Right. Yes. During a big rainstorm.
Yeah. Then, yeah. And he goes in and eats all Nicolas Cage's food. So. It all works out in the end.
Listen, I think you gotta leave your wife, and I'm gonna help you do it.
He's so good in that. Well, all right, this is a fine lineup here. We got everything covered: dark mystery, a little bit of comedy, and in Brian's case, a little brand new, a little deal there. I forgot what you did already.
Comedy, oh, yeah. as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The HBO thing. I gotta watch that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So check it out. More of this and fun things could be had if you follow Nicole at Nicole Spag on Twitter, and she'll tell you where to get these movies with links and everything. Nicole,
bye.
Have a fantastic day.
See you in a few hours, maybe, hopefully.
Maybe. Maybe. I cut her off too soon, hopefully. All right. Before we go, we do have one thing. I didn't write it in here.
One thing.
It's a mashup. It's a fireside story.
Oh, good. I love it.
It's the origin of the Mendoza story, everybody.
Oh, excellent. Good.
So here you go. Check it out.
Once again, pull up a chair as Scott and Brian share a story by the fire. What will they talk about today?
I saw a thing I wanted to ask you about yesterday. So we live by this lake. I keep mentioning that. We've been taking walks there. And it's great because you can take a piece of bread with you, right? And just feed the ducks while you're out there. It's great.
Sure.
And they swarm you. They're happy to see you. Well, really, they're just wild animals who have singular focus on survival and just want to eat your bread. But still, it feels like a communal experience and that the ducks are into it. All right. So they're all swarming out of the lake and coming up on the path where we are because they see that we have bread. They have bread. And they come up there. And one of them, I don't know what species to assign to it. I think it may have been a duck, but it was much larger than the rest. It was mostly white, but duck-shaped, except on the front of its face had a bill, like a, you know, beak bill thing, normal. Yeah. But then a giant bulbous black knob.
On the very top of it?
Kind of coming out of its, what I would refer to as its forehead, above its eyes. And its eyes were therefore spread out more than anyone else's. Like, this thing had a big bird tumor.
That's a Kardashian.
Wild Kardashian.
Wild Kardashian.
What sound do they make when they, when they're out there, do we know?
Money. Watch me.
Sex tape. Famous. I think you're right. Those are the sounds I heard. But it had this big noggin. And I thought, well, maybe it's got like something wrong with it. There's like a tumor growing there or something was going on there. But it was also the loudest of the 60 or so ducks that were there. Just going. Yeah, and then when you would hold out your hand, Nick would hold out his hand to feed any of the other ducks, and all the other ducks would scatter when you held your hand out. They'd never come near your hand. They want you to throw it to them. Right. Except Tumor Duck would come waddling up with all haste and bite so fast and hard and go so far up his hand that he just nearly bite Nick's hand off.
Oh, my God.
Okay, now, yes,
is
similar
like that,
to that.
Dark, like the knobby is black?
Yeah, the beak is orange like that, but the big knob out front, the big horn there, is black as night. But that is it. That's the one.
That's a white child. Chinese goose.
Oh, really? So it's just a normal, just a very forward species then, because that thing was into it, man. Okay, good. On this episode of Doctari, we learned that that's not a tumor, as Arnold would say.
Oh, wow. I didn't remember that. I didn't know it wasn't a goose from the beginning.
Right, you thought it was a duck at first. Yeah.
I didn't remember that either. No, that's completely
It's just a
news.
Weird duck.
Yeah, that's super weird. Anyway, now you know the story, the origin of Mendoza, who's still out there. I saw him the other day, still on the lake, still has a gaggle of cronies around him. He's a dick. Oh, that's kind
I
of
guess
a
we could say that that's the Mendoza effect, right? The fact that you didn't remember thinking he was a duck before you realized he was a goose.
Yeah, it's the Mendoza effect. Very well said. Effect. Well said and well done. That's it. We're done with the show tomorrow. Okay, a couple things today. Core tonight and all that, but between now and then, when's our start time? I should look this up so I'm not telling people wrong. Keep an eye. Oh, here it is. I'm on Brawl with the Blues today for the launch of the Phoenix character in Heroes of the Storm. I'm excited. I'm honored that they even invited me. It's today, and it's starting at March 28th, 10:30 Pacific time. So that's right about now. Wait, is that now? Oh, shit.
What time, Pacific?
I think I have to go. I just realized, I thought it was, wait, did they tell me wrong? Let me make sure, because this
might. Right now it's 10:40. Right now it's 10:40 Pacific.
Yeah, that means they may be 10 minutes into their pre-show. I got to find out if that's true. Did I screw something up? Hold on.
Ruh-roh. Pre-show, smee-show. Like, you don't
there was a
that.
Change on time. Okay. Yeah, it changed. It's 11 a.m. their time, so I have half an hour.
Okay, good.
Ooh, yeah, I couldn't remember. The original email was wrong. That's what it was. So, sorry. 11 o'clock, we go in. The pre-show might already be going, but I don't have to technically get in there until then. Anyway, we do interviews with those who designed the character. We're going to have games that we play where I hopefully don't look like a complete idiot against people who are super pro at this, but it should be a really good time, so check that out. I assume that's over at twitch.tv/blizzheroes. If not, check the Heroes for the Storm or Heroes of the Storm thing out, and you'll check it out. And they have Grubby on the launch right now, so that's a good sign. That means they're watching Grubby and they're not watching me. Okay. So that's coming up later, and then Core, and the whole day is very Heroes focused. Phoenix is a rad character. I'm very excited about it. And then that's it. Patreon.com/TMS. That's the website to visit and get all our stuff if you need anything there. Brian will now treat us to some rad right. song he picked.
There's
what
actually
you got?
One other thing going on today. That's Coverville, which is starting in an hour and a half. And if you're tired of all that Core stuff after watching it for an hour and a half, then you're certainly welcome to come watch Coverville.
There you go.
Celebrating the birthday today. 70-year-old Steven Tyler, lead singer of Aerosmith. Yes, the dude is 70 years old. Holy cow.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Covers of all that stuff, you know, your classics, Dream On, Sweet Emotion, Walk This Way, and more. All that stuff is going to be at 1 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 3 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, Jackalope Ashley. All right, cover request right here.
Mm.
Hi, S&B. It's my birthday yet again. I can't believe it's my fifth birthday request. I started listening when I was 26. Now I'm 31. Didn't I just start listening to the show yesterday? Scott's right. Where does the time go? Mm. This year, I have no exact request, but I leave it up to Brian to come up with something the Tadpoolers can enjoy. Have a happy day, all. Make sure you test the ship's phasers. Signed, Heather J.
I can actually do that. It's right here. Whoop. It's right here. Hold on. Right here.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. I leave it up to Brian. Wouldn't mind something Disney or a cover of a song from a musical like Dear Evan Hansen, Hamilton, The Greatest Showman, or Phantom of the Opera. We are going with the latterest of those items, which is Phantom of the Opera. I included this on last week's Coverville, and I enjoyed it so much, I decided to play it again today. It is the title theme of Phantom of the Opera, performed by symphonic metal band Eternal Descent. Here is the Phantom of the Opera.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
It's about Peter.